anyway. Such a nice little giggle there.
Vancouver Cooperative Radio. CFRO 100.5 FM. Co-op Radio. The people's friend, the tyrant's soul.
My sensors indicate the presence of aliens.
Hope there's someone who'll take care of me when I die. Will I go? Hope there's someone who'll set my heart free, nice to hold when I'm tired. There's a ghost on the
Good morning, everyone. This is the Death Matters Live Show on Vancouver Co-op Radio. You've tuned in to us at 100.5 FM. And you may be wondering, what am I listening to? Because we have been changing our theme song. If you've known us over the past 2 years, we've just entered our third year now, we've been, our show has started with Another One Bites the Dust by Queen. But now, this summer, we're looking at what's a good new theme song to represent who we are now. So last week, you would have heard Oliver Schroer's tune, In Memory of Friends Past. Now, he played that on the violin on his trip to the Camino in a church with lots of acoustic sound. And, you know, I loved it. I chose it. But after the show, some of our listeners said, oh, I don't know, a little somber, a little dour, a little sad. So, of course, we went back and looked around and thought, what could we play this week? And so our theme song this week is by Anthony and the Johnsons. And it's called I Hope There's Someone Who Will Take Care of Me When I Die. And that's from his CD, I Am a Bird Now. And this is a really highly respected tune, one of the best seller from that album and one of the 150 best songs chosen 2 years ago. I can't remember who chose it, but it's on my paper somewhere here. I'm looking around. Anyway, that's Anthony and the Johnsons. Hope there's someone who will take care of me when I die. And if you like this song or if you really don't like it, please let us know because we're looking around for a new theme song. And before I go any further, let me introduce myself. This is Abigail Fisher Lang. I'm one of five hosts on this show, Death Matters Live. Each one of us comes from some part of the universe to do with death and dying and loss, you know, but also life and love and carrying on. I'm a celebrant, a funeral celebrant. I'm a life cycle passage. I'm a sacred passage doula with Conscious Dying Institute. I do funerals for people and weddings. In fact, what I do is called hatching, matching, and dispatching. That's what I love to do. So I'm here with you today, and I'm the only host in this lonely studio. Our other hosts are out and about, and there are many life changes going on with this show and with the hosting, some to do with just sheer distance from this new studio downtown and new adventures. So I'll be tuning you into that and keeping you abreast of that as time goes on. So here we are on Vancouver Co-op Radio, and I would like to begin by thanking our sponsors, StayAbleBaths.com. They're a certified aging-in-place specialist. They offer home modifications for seniors or disabled living in their own homes. They work through the BC Housing Adaptation for Independence Program. That's short for that is HAPI, and the Veterans Independence Program. We thank them for standing behind us each and every week. And the Memorial Society. It's a nonprofit organization like we are, and they help community members with end-of-life planning, funeral costs, wishes they have at that time. So you can visit them at memorialsocietybc.org. We thank them. And now I'd like to thank you for tuning in, gentle listener, and I hope you stay with us to the end of the program. I hope you have a good time and you maybe think good thoughts, and you're going to hear some beautiful music, and I hope you enjoy that. And I want to thank our guest. Bill Moore, who's calling in from Nelson. Now, Bill's been a wonderful part of our show since we began 2 years ago. He would send us in comments every week. He'd send us in music, and we enjoyed our conversations with him. Bill lives in Nelson, where, of course, there's a lot going on right now. Bill, are you there? Bill's not in yet. Oh, okay. So we'll hope he'll call in a minute or so. Might be problems with the lines. So let me just see. Where will we go without Bill being here? Bill was on our show 1 year ago in August, August 17th, and at that time he had been diagnosed legally blind for about the past 2 decades, and now he was dealing with many things. He's a community organizer. He has a very wide cultural life there. Bill, are you here with us now?
I am here now. Thank you, Abigail.
Hi, Bill. I'm glad to hear you.
I am so glad to hear you, too. It's been a while.
It's been a while. I always enjoy our conversations. Thanks for tuning in today. And thanks for sending in that great music. We just heard Anthony and the Johnsons sing "Hope There's Someone Who Will Take Care of Me."
It is an amazing voice that guy has.
It's really unbelievable. And that song, it's so penetrating. I was just telling our listeners that we're scouting around looking for a new theme song. And since last week's was not picked up so readily, the fiddle tune by Oliver Shore, we're going to try this week and see how people like it. But I'm voting for it. Are you?
I like that. I also like the Death Cab for Cutie song you have played in the past.
Yes.
Follow You Into the Dark.
Yeah.
It's really affectionate.
It is. It's beautiful and warm. And in fact, I sort of feel something between the two of them that's a bit resonant. You know, the single male vocalist, the soft lyric, the acoustic sound. They both put me into that lovely sort of play dream time of listening and imagining.
Nice.
Bill.
Yes.
How are things in Nelson?
Well, you may hear the wop, wop, wop of helicopters or water bombers while we speak, because we are surrounded by a number of fires, but things have let up a little bit. It's quite smoky, but not as smoky as it was. You can actually kind of see the mountains today, so we're getting there.
Mm-hmm. And you're not in danger of being excavated.
Excavated?
That's not the right word. What do I mean?
Yeah, no, they're not going to excavate us, I think. It can come back, right?
Oh, evacuated.
You get a lightning storm and you don't know where it's going to hit. You're living day by day and having your evacuation bag all packed up and ready to go at half an hour's notice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like that. There's this kind of low-lying, kind of underlining dread that comes with it, kind of like we're animals in the forest, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And how are people around you dealing with it?
Well, different ways. Various levels of denial or unease or anxious. People are anxious and restless sometimes, and then we remember, oh yeah, well, it's fire. Nature's bigger than we are, and there's nothing we can do about it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she can rub us out with her finger if she chooses.
Mm-hmm.
And insofar as we're partly authors of this climate change, well, we bought this, we earned it, and now we can enjoy it.
What do you mean we bought it?
Ecologically, right?
Oh, yeah.
If we are part of global warming, then we bought this, so now we get to enjoy it.
Oh, that's an interesting way to put it. Anyway, I'm glad you're there and not evacuated yet. I can't believe I got that word mixed up.
Think of bowels and you get there.
Okay. I think that would be quite a lot for the community to live with. Anyway, here in Vancouver, we've had a lot of smoke in the past week. Not right now, not in the last few days. And people have really had a hard time dealing with it, and they've been complaining. And I keep thinking, wow, if you were just a few hundred miles east, then we could really complain. But anyway, so Bill, I want to talk to you a little bit about what you're doing every day. I know you're involved in the hospice day program now. And how is that going?
Oh, it's wonderful. I am really, really enjoying myself there. Mm-hmm. It's a lovely program. Organizationally, like structurally, I don't fully understand how it's funded, where it comes from, who made it. And, you know, so I'm not going to try and go there because I would probably get it wrong. Mm-hmm. But on the ground, it happens in what was once a convent in a kind of suburb of Nelson. So it's a nice building that has been lovingly restored. And right now it's one day a week. there's a, you know, I certainly have a dream of it being more. Mm-hmm. And hard to describe. It's very, very receptive and intuitive. So it kind of designs itself as we go, meeting the needs of the people who are lucky enough to be engaged as, they call them guests. Are we guests? Are we clients? I don't know. Mm-hmm. Guests is the current word, but it doesn't quite fit in my mind. However, whoever we are, it's designed very intuitively and receptively to be with what we need as we go. Mm-hmm. So there's a sharing circle and some, oh, we have music. We had a drumming circle a couple of weeks ago, which is stunning. There's a piano there. We sing and we do stuff with clay. It's kind of, I don't know, it's kind of expressive art. It's almost art therapy, but not really, because mm-hmm. it's doing art.
And why are you there?
Why am I there? Mm-hmm. Well, because I have a terminal diagnosis of kidney cancer. Mm-hmm. And something's going to take me out, either that or my heart. So I'm there. But interestingly, I'm not all that ill right now. So it's a bit, I feel sometimes a little unworthy of being there. And there are people there who are really ill.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm not there yet. I no doubt will be. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to read. I don't feel well, but you know, I'm 71 and I'm hypochondriac. So you know, it's hard to tell what is feeling well. I love it there. Mm-hmm. Practitioners come, we have massages and acupuncture and a lovely garden to hang about in and mm-hmm. a rest area and the most incredible food.
It sounds like it's a real lifeline for those people there. So it's part of the palliative care program? It's the day program connected with
it's
that.
What there is right now.
It's what there is now in Nelson.
Yeah, we have two organizations providing various kinds of services. Mm-hmm. And I don't really understand their interface, so I'm best not to speak about who does which, but there seems to be some collaboration between an organization called Kayleen Hospice and the Nelson Hospice Society. I don't know if I even have the words right, mm-hmm. because I don't relate to it at that level. I just go in as a recipient of this loving kindness, and this yeah. really interesting program.
Thank you.
And also building relationships with the people there. There's several volunteers, and because I've been here like since before there was a world, I know some of these people for 30 odd years, some of the volunteers. Mm-hmm. And the people who are there as recipients, building relationships. There's a man who I'm building quite a strong friendship with who is 95. Mm-hmm. And I haven't had that opportunity much before. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There's another man there who's really quite ill. And so on, you know. And yeah. so you're building relationships with people who you know will die soon enough.
Yeah.
And it's somewhat transformative. And then watching everybody step into the program. So in some ways, I think it's just life-affirming. Mm-hmm. I'm finding as I walk along, both with myself and with other people, that there's not that much to say about dying. You know, you can spend some time mentioning what difficult things are happening with your body, mm-hmm. and they can be of varying degrees of severity, but then there's, you know, a little bit of grieving, and what else can you say? You're alive. And in a way, what I'm discovering myself is that death is invisible. You can't know it or really exactly talk about it. You can do the dispositions you need to do and mm-hmm. make sure everything is tickety-boo for when you need it, but mostly it's about being alive. And when we're there, it's a lot about being alive. Drumming and singing and eating incredible food, and just one of the people there has a little companion dog who's quite an important part of the group, and just being alive together, you know.
Yeah, well, I hope you have a few things to say about it, because that's what you're doing on the show. But anyway, let's talk more about this aspect of death being invisible after our first song. And today we're playing a lot of the songs that you chose for us. The first one I'd like to do is by Leonard Cohen. Could you tell us a little bit about why you chose this? Closing time.
Closing to, well, yeah, because that's what it is.
That's what it is.
The, you know, the show's going to shut down. It's going to close. And how do you celebrate? Well, you dance. Mm-hmm. And that's what the song is kind of about.
So it's that invisible place of closing time. Well, I'm looking for Kerry. He's not in the studio. How is he going to play that? How is he going to play that song? Huh.
So you're on your own all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Well, we can just talk a bit, and when you'll know when he comes back.
When he comes back, we'll play it. Yeah. Okay,
so talking about that invisible place. Mm-hmm. Well, I read this wonderful book by William Golding called Pincher Martin. And Pincher Martin is a lot about dying and how your mind will refuse to know that. It will continue to build a working reality even when it's down to one only pinprick of life. It's still absolutely committed to creating a reality that is a reality of life.
Mm-hmm.
And every now and then there will be a flash of black lightning. Of course, you can't see black lightning. It's the opposite of everything that there is. And each time there's black lightning, he is dissolved and comes back less until the end of the book. It's a remarkable book.
Sounds good. Let's
it's
check
it. It's kind
in.
Of a punchline. I don't want to do a spoiler, but it's like, I don't know, it's like the hair can stand up on the back of your neck,
mm-hmm.
and you can feel afraid, but what of? Like, it's because it's nothing. How can you apprehend nothing? There may be, you know, celebration, song and dance on the other side. I don't myself have any belief about that one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
But for this flesh and this brain and this, you know, nervous system, you can't know it because it's nothing.
Well, let's hear Leonard Cohen speak a little bit about that, or sing a little bit about that in his song Closing Time, and we'll come back to you and to Pincher Martin.
All right.
Bill. So that was Leonard Cohen singing Closing Time from his new album, his last album. And you've tuned in to Death Matters Live on Vancouver Co-op Radio 100.5 FM. My name is Abigail Fisher-Lang. I'm hosting today, and we're speaking with Bill Moore from Nelson, B.C. And we're talking a little bit about how a community forms itself, a community of people who are, we can say, actively dying, or we can say further along the path, or something like that. They're living in this aspect of life that Bill has called receptive and intuitive. Bill, are you there?
I'm right here.
Yeah, that was an interesting song, hey?
Yeah, it's too bad you didn't play all of it.
Yeah, well, we got started late, right? Because but I loved this part about the fiddler. He says it's hell to play when the fiddler stops.
Yeah. Hell to pay when the fiddler is, and you count the cost, is closing time.
Mm-hmm.
Some of those lines, you know. Leonard Cohen's best line for me about leaving this whole story is, even though it all went wrong, mm-hmm. I'll stand before the Lord of Song. Mm-hmm. Nothing on my tongue but hallelujah.
That's a beauty.
Isn't that? A lot of people that sing that song don't sing the last verse, you know. You'll notice that when most people who sing it leave off that last verse.
But Katie Lang didn't, right?
I think she did.
Huh.
I think she did, and I think Wufus Wainwright did too.
Say it again.
Wufus Wainwright? No. I always say his name wrong on purpose because he annoys me.
Oh, whoops. So no, say the lines again that you like.
Yeah, anyhow. Leonard Cohen said it all about everything. It's a place to go for anything you're ever dealing with that's unusual or you can't find a context for. Just go to Leonard Cohen.
Yeah, just about right, eh?
Yeah, just like that right. Dress rehearsal rack, a suicide song. Wasn't it a long way down, and wasn't it a strange way down?
Hmm.
Yeah, amazing guy.
Is that on his last album as well?
No, that's quite a while ago.
Uh-huh.
Back in the 60s.
Have you listened to his recent album, You Want It Darker?
No, I haven't.
Uh-huh.
I don't particularly want it darker.
Uh-huh. You don't want it darker because
no.
It's already dark.
Well, I'm kind of done with dark, you know. It's mm-hmm. like, it's for real now, and life is real, and things are at stake. And I got a little while to do my work. I don't know how long.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, am I dreaming. A whole lot of my life energy is going into dreaming now, and they're kind of trying to sort out the big stories of my life, you know?
Well, you are a writer, so how is that part of your work going?
It doesn't go anymore.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't work for me blind. When I really get blind and I can't access text anymore,
mm-hmm.
having the computer read it to me doesn't do it. I can't get at it, so I'm unable now to produce any amount of text.
You have worked with someone in the past who was an editor and worked closely with you in your work in getting it out?
Oh, a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly
mm-hmm.
did it myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm content. I don't mind. I write a journal and, you know, I potter around and make myself happy. But, you know, anything of any substance, in you know, anything bigger than a couple of pages,
mm-hmm.
I find that if I'm writing now, I start repeating myself because I can't access text. The part of my brain that produces text works separately from the part of my brain that thinks about things. Like when I wrote my book, Yellow Dog, I had no idea what I was writing. Mm-hmm. It was almost entirely unconscious.
That's
it was like copying text that existed somewhere, and mm-hmm. I only knew what I'd written after I wrote it.
But isn't that called intuitive writing?
I don't know, but you can't do it when you can't see the text.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I produce a body of text and I can't get at it.
Yeah, yeah.
So anyway, I don't write, and it was fun while it lasted. But I'm liking this time quite a lot. I don't know what it means. I don't know a whole lot right now. Things are shifting into beauty, which is surprising to me.
Mm-hmm.
Letting go of some chronic emotional disorder. I have a new piano. And I find all I have to do is turn on the tap and music comes out, and that's a very happy thing for me.
Uh-huh. So music instead of writing text.
Yeah.
That's not a bad thing.
Well, there's nothing really bad right now. I'm pleased enough with what's going on. The hospice program is, I think, a transformer, though it's only a day a week.
Yeah.
It's offering me a place to stand. And I'm functional there. Because it's a really responsive program, and because Bill always has opinions. And people put up with it.
You mean this Bill we're speaking with?
Yeah, that one, yeah. Always has opinions. And people put up with it, and will listen and hear it. And things, I can talk to the director or the volunteers about things that I hope for or didn't like or wish for, and bingo, things uh-huh. happen.
Well, you know, Bill, you've always been such a great conversationalist. I'm sure you just being there enlivens that space. And I was just thinking back to our show last August, which we called Death of the Visible, and you had some things there to say. And I guess, you know, you're in a different stage now, but we have a lot of listeners, they call in sometimes about who are dealing with some diagnosis, and you've had a lot of diagnoses, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, is it as simple as suggesting that people join a group like you're in, this hospice day program, or you've walked this path for a long time with, I feel, a lot of insight or a sense of curiosity.
So I'm not sure what you're asking me.
No, I'm not sure. I just wanted to see if you have anything you could suggest. I mean, I don't want you to be giving advice or anything like that, but
just
people must come to you and say, I've just had this diagnosis. What do I do now?
Oh, no, not so much.
No.
I'm not very visible these days. My visibility in Nelson is primarily as a tarot reader and tarot teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really, specific. The people who come are usually under 40.
Mm-hmm.
There are some exceptions. My students are generally under 30. And they're not busy dying. They're busy living.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm a Christian, and it's core for me in all of this. It's really not possible to talk about all of this without talking about...
Whoops.
What are you whooping?
Bill, are you there?
Can you hear me?
Something happened there.
Can you hear me now?
Harry?
Can you hear me?
Abigail? I can hear you now. Something happened. Some ghosts came in and were chanting or something.
Okay. Well, what was the last thing you heard?
I can't remember. Let's just take a break now. I have a song I've chosen for you.
Oh, all right.
I hope you like it. I'm not sure. You might find it a bit rhapsodic, but you know, I'm from Nova Scotia, and I like that down-home music, and this is the Rankin family. It's called Fare Thee Well, Love, and, they've had unexpected deaths in their family, John in 2000, and then the beautiful singer Raylene in 2012, who died of cancer. And anyway, this is a really beautiful song. We'll listen to a few minutes of it. Carrie's putting it right in right now. Thanks. Bill, we'll talk after.
Mm-hmm.
Was Fare Thee Well, Love, sung by the Rankin family from Nova Scotia, where I be from as well. This is Abigail Fisher-Lang on Death Matters Live. You're listening to Vancouver Co-op at 100.5 FM. We're speaking with Bill Moore from Nelson. Bill, what did you think of that song?
Bill, thank you for playing that.
It's powerful, isn't it?
It's beautiful.
Yeah. Thank you for listening. I just found it the other day, and... It's a keeper for me, you know. As we put together our pieces, musical and artistic and general, to form our own end of life celebration and ceremony, and that's one of the ones for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, go ahead.
No, I just want you to go ahead.
No, I was just thinking about end of life ceremonies, and people have asked me, you know, what do you want? What? And I find I'm drawing a complete blank because I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure why one would care.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I'll be gone. It's the other people who might care and might have things they want to say or sing or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure why, you know, I know people who do care, so I'm not really belittling that. But I don't find it in myself at all. I really don't care.
What about the aspect of it being a gift you're giving to others? Like a time to come together and to have some thoughts together, have some, you know, the music. You know, you love music. Your life's always been what I feel marinated in music and language, poetry. And what about that?
Well, I'm giving them the opportunity by dying, I suppose. And then they can have a little party and do what they like. It feels like just an imposition of my ego and I don't know who I am. Increasingly, that sounds pretentious, mm-hmm. but increasingly I really don't know who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And so how can I say what they're going to need to hear? I can say, well, you need to hear this because it represents me.
Mm-hmm.
That just represents the thought I have about myself.
Right, right.
So, I mean, they can have a party.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I don't mind. It's a funny one. Again, that thing of it being nothing.
Yeah.
In some way, I stop. And that moment when you stop, if there's something carries over, I don't think it's your mind. I don't know. It gets, you know, for me, it gets mixed up with all kinds of other questions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because as I was saying before we played the last song, the core of my process right now is that I'm Christian and that I'm working this one in conversation with Jesus several times a day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's the conversation that is where I'm focusing my understanding and my process and allowing myself to just let go into God. And then I don't know who I am. And last night I dreamed that I was behind this school. I went to this very unpleasant school in a rough part of a small town when I was a kid. And in my dream, I was behind the school and all the territory behind the school. And it was all disappearing. There was huge potholes and valleys and canyons, and all the houses were disappearing. And people's backyards were disappearing. And it was all just going into wildland.
Mm.
And I feel a little bit like I'm disappearing.
Into wildland.
Yeah, yeah.
Beautiful. That's an interesting way to think. I'm not saying look at it, but an interesting way to just hold it. That it's all grace from now on, or you know, something between grace and dance and wildland. And why should you have that responsibility of creating a ceremony when other people who are alive and thriving will do that to suit where they are at that time and what they've, I suppose, what they want to remember of you or want to celebrate of you or themselves with you, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just letting go.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I'm happy about that. I have a very nice living situation. I'm well taken care of.
Yeah.
And I just...
I'm glad to hear that.
And I've just let go into this, you know, quiet little town. Who would have thought it, eh?
Yeah.
Life is such a surprise. I end up in this quiet little corner of this quiet little town in the middle of the mountains and just kind of slightly slipping away.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think about Bilbo when Frodo went to visit him in Rivendell.
Oh, yes, at the end there.
And Bilbo is getting very sleepy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It reminds me of that. You know, the Song of Myself by Walt Whitman.
Uh-huh.
Those last lines in... you know, the longest poem called Song of Myself that ends where he says, if you want me again, look for me under my boot soles. You will hardly know who I am or what I mean, but I will be good health to you nevertheless and filter and fiber your blood. Failing to fetch me at first, keep encouraged. Missing me one place, search another. I stop somewhere waiting for you.
Oh, my. Mm-hmm. That's lovely.
It is. I'll send it you.
Thank you. That's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. But the whole poem is beautiful. And the whole, the poem is 65 pages. This is one of my signature poems. It's 65 pages long. And he wrote it in 1860, around the time of the Civil War, published in 1865. And it starts off, I sing myself and celebrate myself. And what I assume, you shall assume. For every atom belonging to me as good belongs to you. So he goes on and on for 65 pages and really brings in this, catalog of human experience. And then ends with this long page, this long passage about death.
Wow.
Yeah.
I have to confess to not being very familiar with Walt Whitman, but that's lovely.
Yeah, thank you. I'll send it to you.
Well, do please.
Yeah.
And I'll try and find somewhere where someone is reading it aloud, or maybe one day I'll be lucky enough to get you to read some of it to me.
Well, I could read it to you. Let's figure out how to do
that.
That would be so great.
I love it when you read. You read beautifully.
And thank you.
When my computer reads me poetry, I can't read at all on screen. When my computer reads me poetry, it tries its best, but it's a computer. So it doesn't understand what it's reading, so it doesn't know how to put the music in there.
Yeah, maybe. Is it Siri's voice?
It's quite a nice voice. I bought a voice from a company called Avona. Uh-huh. Her name is Amy. She has a nice, comfortable British accent.
Uh-huh.
Does a pretty good job at intonation. She reads the punctuation, which is lovely, so you can hear how the punctuation is working.
Yeah.
But she still doesn't know what she's reading.
Yeah, she doesn't know. And you can't have a British voice. I don't know. Someone may take exception at this, but you can't have a British voice reading Rumi or Walt Whitman. Like, it's different. It's a different texture, right?
That could well be. Yeah. Though I've become laterally utterly addicted to BBC.
Oh.
I have never before, but I'm spending a great deal of time listening to BBC Radio 4 Extra.
Excellent.
They had a Joe Orton special this weekend, and I've been very interested in Joe Orton. So BBC is so cool.
Well, we're going to take a break now because I want to play a song that you sent to us.
Which song are you going to play?
I'm going to play the Donovan song.
Well, then play all of it, okay?
Okay. How long is it, Kerry? I think we have time for that? Sure, we do.
All right, let's go.
You want us to play it? Okay. Okay.
Good
okay,
show.
So this is Donovan. It's called Hampstead Incident.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is for you, Bill. Here we go.
Thank you.
Every man digging the rigging on my sail. Rain fell to sounds of harpsichords, to the spell of fairy tale. The heath was hung in magic mists, enchanted, dripping glades out. Taste the tastes until my mind drips from the scene and fades in the night time. Crystals sparkle in the grass. I polish them. The star of light is called. Fortunes told in grains of sand. Here I am, is all I know. Can be stuck in children's hair. Paint his face a smile. or maybe even then I'll wake in the night time, in the night time. Every man digging the rigging on my sail. Rain fell through sounds of harpsichords to the spell of a fairy tale. The heath was hung in magic mists, enchanted dripping. Tastes until my mind chips from the scene and fades in the night's time. In the night's time.
Welcome back. You're listening to Death Matters Live on Radio Vancouver Radio, Vancouver Co-op Radio. Oh my goodness. My name's Abigail, and we just listened to Hampstead Incident by Donovan Leitch. It's his old song with extraordinary lyrics. Oh
my
goodness.
Those words amazing.
Amazing. What's that? What's your favorite line from there?
I'll taste the tastes until my mind slips from this place and fades into the nighttime.
Well, say that again.
I'll taste the taste until my mind slips from this place and fades in the nighttime.
Yeah, extraordinary.
It's sad, eh?
Yeah.
Like he's saying, here I am is all I know.
Mm-hmm.
This moment you got to be.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just terrifying. Mm-hmm. My whole life of dealing with nonsense and addiction and trauma and my whatever, it's all been a mad attempt to not be right now.
Yeah.
And maybe right now I'm getting a moment of it. And that's where that song takes you, eh?
Yeah.
Here I am is all I know. I'll taste the tastes, and then I'll disappear.
Yeah, beautiful.
Love that song very much. Thank you for playing it.
No, thank you for sending it to us. Really, it's your whole relationship to your music is so reflective, and I appreciate it so much. Thank you. Yeah. So we have a few more minutes, Bill. I had someone look up the website for the Nelson Hospice that we spoke about earlier, this program that you're loving so much, the Hospice Day program.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called, it's nelsonhospice.org. Nelson Hospice, all one word, .org. So that's a good place for people to look up if they're...
Well, I'm not sure that Nelson Hospice is entirely running the day program. That's where I'm uncertain, because there are two organizations. Eh? There's Nelson Hospice, and there's Kalian Hospice.
But you think if someone contacted them... They would help. You know, they sound
but
like it's...
I'm just not entirely clear of, at that upper level of the program, who is managing what, where the funding's coming from,
mm-hmm.
who's holding the program, whose baby it is.
Yeah, yeah. You're
just... small town, those things... kind of matter.
But you know, you're there as a human being, and the rest of that stuff is on some other level, right? So,
but if you found Nelson Hospice dot whatever,
yeah,
then you'd find it.
.org, yeah, you'd find that. Good. Now, we usually around this time in the show, we have different aspects of the show that have slowly metamorphosed over time, depending who's hosting and what we have to work with. We have a part called Dying to Ask, which we used to play sort of scary organ music. Where people might call in or email in with a question, and we'd ask that to the host or the guest, and they'd answer it.
Sure.
I don't know. We don't have a question, but...
Well, if we don't have a question, we can't answer it.
Let's let it go for now.
Well, then the answer is yes.
Maybe. The answer is possibly. Oh, I know. The better answer is wait and find out.
Well, that's a really good answer,
yeah,
too.
That's a very good answer to all those questions of this passage in life that we're heading towards, and you are dancing along.
Well, what kinds of things do people ask?
Well, depending on who the guest is, they may ask, you know, how do I find out about this, or why should I do that, or tell about this, you know, because we've had guests that have been talked about physician-assisted dying, or about end-of-life planning, about preparing ceremony, about working with a family, things like that. So we've even clearing house, even decluttering.
Kind of a call-in kind of thing.
Yeah, well, but because we've been going for 2 years, and I do want our listeners to know that you can go to deathmattersliveradio.com and see most of our shows for the last 2 years. We've just started our third year, actually, this month we're starting. And so things change, but we have a variety of shows with extraordinary guests and music and information and support. One thing we often also have on the show is a eulogy, where one of us would read a eulogy that we've just recently written or spoken for someone in their ceremony. Or we also have poetry. And, of course, you know, I love to read that poetry, but today I brought in a poem.
Oh.
To listen to. It's, and I'm not speaking this one. Even I know this poem well, but there's a woman named Kim Rosen, and she has a book out. It has a CD attached, and it's called... what's it called? The book, it just went out of my mind. Her name's Kim Rosen, R-O-S-E-N, and it's the title of the book is something to do, it's called Saved by a Poem, and it's about a deep time she went through in her life, and she began just to read poems and then memorize them so they would be like a mantra for her. And, you know, we know that poetry is healing, you know, it started off as being language and music that would be for ceremony, for sacred purpose. So anyway, this is from that book. It's called Being Saved by a Poem, and this is the CD. This is the first track on it, and the poem is called What is the Deep Listening? And it's by Rumi. So let's listen to it now, Bill. It's spoken by Kim Rosen, who wrote the book, and I think it's quite lovely.
All right.
Terry, let's hear it.
What is the deep listening? Sama is a greeting from the secret ones inside the heart. A letter. The branches of your intelligence grow new leaves in the wind of this listening. The body reaches a peace. Rooster sound comes, reminding you of your love for dawn. The reed flute and the singer's lips, the knack of how spirit breathes into us, becomes as simple and ordinary as eating and drinking. The dead rise with the pleasure of listening. If someone can't hear a trumpet melody, sprinkle dirt on his head and declare him dead. Listen. And feel the beauty of your separation. The unsayable absence. There's a moon inside every human being. Learn to be companions with it. Give more of your life to this listening. As brightness is to time, so you are to the one who talks to the deep ear in your chest. I should sell my tongue and buy 1,000 ears. When that one steps near and begins to speak, I should sell my tongue and buy 1,000 ears. When that one steps near.
Thank you. So that was What is the Deep Listening by Rumi, spoken by Kim Rosen, and cello was by Jamie Sieber. That's some beautiful lines in that poem. Hey, Bill?
You could spend a long time with that.
Yeah. I love the branches of your intelligence grow new leaves in the light of this listening. It's my favorite line for today.
That reminded me of a very quick two-line poem I'm going to share now. While the hard world creaks in sleep, the black trees bud. Isn't that nice?
Beautiful. Say it again.
While the hard world creaks in sleep, the black trees bud. I picked that up somewhere. I don't remember where.
Sounds like a haiku.
It's cool. That was lovely. That was just lovely.
I'll send it to you, shall I?
Yes, please.
I'd love to do that.
We must be just about done.
We're just about done. We've got to go through our resources now. We have a list of we want to thank our sponsors again and do some resources. And right now I want to say to everyone, thank you for tuning in, that you've been listening to Death Matters Live, which is a weekly one-hour show on Vancouver Co-op Radio, 100.5 FM. We're down now in our original studio on Columbia Street. Please call in or email us at deathmatterslive@gmail.com to let us know, how did you find it today? Did you listen to the whole show? And what do you think of that theme song anyway, that by Anthony and the Johnsons? We're going to go out with it in a few minutes, so you can listen to it longer. But Anthony and the Johnsons, I hope there's someone. It's a cool piece. Bill, thank you for all the music that you sent today. And some of it you sent, I couldn't play it all, but we'll be playing it all in the next few weeks. So hopefully
all right.
You'll tune in. Yeah.
It's a pleasure, as always, to spend this time, Abigail. Thanks so much for inviting me.
Yes, thank you for being there. And we've got a few new thought forms, new thought pathways to follow now, I think. And thank you for sharing your experience with the Hospice Day program. And I want to start our resources with a nod out to them, so people can, in that area of Nelson, can check into nelsonhospice.org to find out more about it. And Bill, we want to wish you and everyone there really well as the fires are around you, that you stay well and healthy.
Well, thanks, Abigail, and arrivederci. Eh?
Arrivederci. Be kind to one another.
Bye for now.
Bye for now. So, dear listeners, shout out to Stay Able Baths, who've been sponsoring us for years now, and they offer home modifications for seniors and for the disabled. You can get in touch with them at stayablebaths.com and connect through the programs that fund their work, such as the HAPI, the BC Housing Adaptation for Independence Program, and the Veterans Independence Program. They do really fantastic work. It makes such a difference to so many people, the people who use those and also their families, so that they can age in place with dignity. And also our thanks, as always, to the Memorial Society of BC. They've done such incredible work for decades. We had the founder on some months ago, and she said when people signed into the Memorial Society 25 years ago and paid their $5, that still stands you in good stead to get all their services, and that they help with end-of-life planning and funeral costs and a variety of things. Just go into their website and you'll see what your fee will cover. And I think it's still a very modest amount, $20 or something a year. That's memorialsocietybc.org, memorialsocietybc.org. Also, last week we mentioned the ConsciousDyingInstitute.com, and this is a group institute I've worked with quite closely in the past. I'm a sacred passage doula certified through this organization, and they do very, very beautiful work. And coming up in November this year will be another training for those who would like to work as a death doula, but also for anybody who just wants to explore what it means to be mortal, the deep work we do in grieving as a community, and you'll get so many resources and join a wider community at that place. That's ConsciousDyingInstitute.com with Taryn Estes, the director. We'd like to have a shout out, of course, to the two strong organizations that help the society, our society, the Bereavement Helpline in BC, and that website is bcbereavementhelpline.com. It's a long word, bcbereavementhelpline.com. And of course, Crisis Line, BCCA. And death cafes. I don't have any death cafes to announce today, but if you go into deathcafe.com, you will find death cafes that are all around the world. Just put in your address and it'll show up. There's often some out here in Maple Ridge and in Aldergrove and places. Some of them are sponsored by some of my co-hosts on the show, Stephen Garrett and Marilise and others. And then nelsonhospice.org. There we go. That's all our resources for today. I want to thank our producer, Lila Chinaya, and I want to thank our wonderful, handsome techie, Carrie. He's smiling now, rolling his eyes. Yeah, thank you, Carrie, for all you've done. So we're going to go out today, dear listeners, playing that song we started with, called I Hope There's Someone Who Will Take Care of Me When I Die. It's by Anthony and the Johnsons. Let us know if you like it. Be kind, be true. We'll hear you, hear from you and speak with you next week. Goodbye for now.
Go to bed. How can I fall asleep at night? How will I raise my head? Oh, I'm scared of the middle place between lies. In no way, I don't want to be the one left in there, left in there. There's a man on the horizon, he should die.
Disordered mind. We're here to present the cutting-edge radio you want to hear. Our public affairs programs dig deep with voices other stations won't touch.
No market for that.
What about a program featuring just local Vancouver bands?
No.
Programs with First Nations hosts?
Sorry, no market for that.
We've got a lot of shows in other languages for people all over the world.
You're kidding, right? Who would sponsor that?
Can't make big bucks with programs people want to hear? You have to go to Co-op Radio for that. 100.5 FM, community-owned radio.
Spare me your philosophical comments, you blithering bumpkin.
Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO, 100.5 FM. Co-op Radio, the people's friend, the tyrant's soul.
To every statement or question that you have, every statement you've made, every question you've asked, the answer is no.